In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells the familiar to us story of, or the parable of the talents. It shows up in another place in the Gospels in a different format, but the two tell a very similar story. The one here in Matthew 25 tells a story of a wealthy person who chose out three of his servants, and he gave them different amounts of money, and they were to take that money and use it to his benefit while he was gone away, traveling apparently on a business trip of some sort, and they would be accountable to him when they returned for what they had done with it. And so it is that, you know how the story goes, one was given five talents of money, one two talents of money, one talent of money. The one given the five talent, the one given the two talent, put it to work. They invested it in some fashion, and it gained while it was gone. It gained interest. You know that the story that the one fellow had given the one talent did not put it to work, but rather buried it. And we often talk about how that is a parallel for how you and I, who are Christians, who are given spiritual gifts, are to put those to work for the Lord. The idea being that whatever God has given us, whatever resources God has entrusted us, that He expects us to use them, expects them to be fruitful, expects them to be used in a way that will bring Him glory at the end time when we're held accountable by Him. So putting our resources to work is what God expects of us. It's interesting when we look at the listing of spiritual gifts as given in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter 4. And it talks about these various things, and the lists are not identical. There's a little bit of lap over, but not very much. And we look at those and we wonder probably at times, are these the only spiritual gifts, or are these just kind of indicative? Are these a sampling of the kinds of gifts that there can be? We know that when we look in the Romans chapter 12 passage, they tend to be things that are more things you and I can relate to and say, well, I've got some of those, or I've got at least one of those, or at least I hope I do. And you look at the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, and it seems to have to do with things that are more of what we would categorize as miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you say, I don't see that in myself. I'm not so sure that God even works that way anymore. And so we've got these two or three lists that don't really match with one another, but they give us an expansion, and they start speaking to us of the idea that God puts resources of different kinds within our lap, if you will, within our care, for us to use in some way to His glory. That idea comes up again in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verses 8 through 10. Earlier in that chapter, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, talks about what we were, we who are Christians, before we became Christians, and about how far away from God we were, and about what's changed in our life by the grace of God. And then in the last few verses of that section, verses 8 through 10, he says this: "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." A different kind of gift than we might think about the spiritual gifts, but a gift of God nonetheless. But he didn't stop there, because he says, "Not by works, so that no one can boast." What's he talking about here, not by works? In other words, not that we could work for it and be do it. Not that we've earned what God has in fact given to us as a gift. We don't earn gifts, do we? Gifts are given freely out of love and out of a sense that this is something that will be a blessing to you. But he goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship." We've been created by God's handiwork. Created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul makes a play on this word work here, if you look at it. First, he talks about not by works so that nobody can boast, speaking of work we would do in order to somehow be deserving of God's grace.
Then he says, rather, that we have been created in Christ by God's workmanship. He's the worker. He's the one who's done the work to create us. He's the one who is working in us. And he's recreated us as we became Christians, as we were baptized into Christ, so that we would do good works that he's prepared for us to do. Comes back to this idea of using what God has given us in a way that may be unique to us. Maybe not in a particular gift, if you will, or resource, but maybe in the combination of them. None of us are exactly alike in any way, are we? We may have similarities, but we are not exactly alike. There is something unique about all of us that God has created within us. And by virtue of that, and by virtue of what skills and gifts and personality traits and character that we have, we are uniquely enabled by God to do the works that he's already prepared for us. You get a sense that before we were born, before we became Christians, God had these certain works sitting up on a shelf, just waiting for us to be born, just waiting for us to be a Christian, just waiting for us to be recreated in Christ so that he could give us, you and me, individually, these unique works to do. And so it is when we sometimes talk in this very general and broad way about the work of the church. We really should be saying the works of the church, shouldn't we? And maybe even more specifically, the works of every Christian within the church. Because each one of us will have unique ones. We can look all around us right in this room and see unique gifts, unique resources that God has given to certain people that others of us would be hopelessly unable to do. Amen? And thank God for those who have those gifts. Amen? What a blessing that we have as the body, and what a blessing to our community who's going to be coming in here tomorrow morning to be able to be the beneficiaries of these gifts. So we have this really responsibility to use whatever of these wonderful resources, these gifts, these skills, these personalities, these experiences that God has brought together in us individually to use for his glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter is a lengthy chapter, one of the longest in the New Testament, certainly in the epistles, and it talks there a great deal about the resurrection of Christ and about the reality of it, the truth of it, and about our resurrection from the dead one day. And as Paul closes out the chapter, he says, as a result of affirming all of these things, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Don't worry about the future, because what I've told you is truth. You can bank on it. He goes on to say, let nothing move you. Let nothing move you away from this truth. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We may have a hard time seeing the results during our lifetime of the work that you and I have done individually in service to the Lord. We may feel, in fact, like that we have failed the Lord in great ways. We may feel like we have worked long and hard and given so much of ourselves, worked ourselves to the bone in certain ways, and have not seen really what we wanted to see from it. But we don't have to. God does. God knows exactly what he's given to each one of us. He knows exactly what he anticipates from each one of us. Our responsibility is to do the work. And if we do the work, he'll bless it. Remember, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes it takes a long time to see the product. Sometimes it's more evident. This week, during Vacation Bible School, there's going to be a lot of work put out in addition to all the work that's been done. And there'll be a lot of work after Vacation Bible School, taking it all down, putting it all away. A lot of work by a lot of people in a lot of ways, giving their best, giving their all for this particular week. A lot of work leading up to this for months or longer. We may not see exactly the kind of response that we would like to see, because we've got our own sense of measurements, don't we? And they're probably all over the map. If we went through every person in this room and asked for what kinds of end products would you like to see from this, we'd probably have 10 or 12 or 15 or more. But it's really not important what our particular goals are. It's important what God's goals are. And whatever we have put into it, we can rest assured that as we have worked for this, and as we work for anything and everything else, like the year-round Bible school program, and our work with missions programs, and other programs we're involved in, whatever and what all they are, as we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, He will bless that. Our labor will not be in vain. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? You and I don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord and rest assured of His blessings. Remember what Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. It's something that is well for us to always remember as we're doing whatever it is that is according to our resources, what God has blessed us with. Paul said here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 5, what after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Paul and Apollos were very different, and yet they were both very effective servants for the Lord. They each had a different task. So Paul goes on to say, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but the Lord made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. We're servants. But only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, each. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we, and this is wonderful, this is something that all of us need to really bear in mind, especially in those times when we wonder if we're really accomplishing what we feel like we ought to be. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. What a wonderful and unimaginable thing that we could be God's fellow workers, working alongside God, working for God, being blessed by God in whatever and what all we're doing in His service to His glory. That's something all of us need to be thinking about this week. We need to be praying about that for all of those who are involved in this work this week. But we need to be thinking even more broadly about that, about all of the works of the church here in this place, in this congregation. And beyond that, the works of congregations in this county, and then in this state, and then in this nation, and then in this world. All of those people, all of those places where God is working alongside people, where God is blessing every Christian's efforts so that their labor is not in vain. I hope that that will be a thought that won't simply be with us tonight or this week, but will stay with us throughout the remainder of our lives and allow it to encourage us personally, and allow it to work through us so that we can encourage one another so that whatever it is, however small we may think our piece of it is, it's not nothing. Everything is something, and everything is needed, and everything can serve and glorify God. To Him be the glory in all things. If we can be of help to anyone tonight, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.